I went to church, and whatever was going on in the church, I was involved in. The whole three in one. I just never could really get my hands around it. But just fell apart, man. I went home and told him, hey, dude, don't let your eyes close thinking that somebody died for you. Boom, the tears just exploded on the highway.
You just start crying on the highway just driving the truck.
Yeah.
While listening to crying.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim.
Brothers and sisters, we've all had loved ones that passed away. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a close family member. But one of the mercies of our deen is that with the right intention, we can go ahead and continue to do good deeds on our loved ones' behalf. And what greater of a continuous good deed, sadaqa jariyah, than investing on their behalf in the Deen Center and Masjid and Nagar Dawah Center that will benefit generations to come, inshallah. So click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? Very excited for this episode. My next guest, who grew up in a Baptist home, being very active in the Baptist church. As a teen, something happened. All of that stopped. Later, he returned and he started questioning, like most of us would do. You start questioning things that don't make sense. For example, is Jesus God? Is he black? Is he white? God actually die? Who's running the earth? Trinity, God three but one. At the end, he was like, just things don't add up. Doesn't make sense. Then he ran into some people saying we shouldn't see God as black or white. We should remove any racial images from worship. That got him thinking. Who are these people now we want to find out who actually borrowed him a Quran? And then his life started taking a whole different direction. He started to read out of curiosity, as he says. And he said he just couldn't put it down. And did you know? This is the fascinating part. Inshallah encourages more people out there because not only did he pick it up, start reading it, but at an age of 67, he memorized the entire Quran. Let's bring out our next guest.
This is the Deen
Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Greetings of peace. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. So, let's start from the beginning before we get into talking about how you actually memorized the entire Quran at the age of 67, hoping that we can memorize, that we can encourage more people to show that it's never too late or too early to get started. And you actually grew up in a Baptist home, going to a Baptist church, very active at a young age. Is that right?
That's correct.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. I'm the youngest of four. We grew up going to church every Sunday. My parents were both religious, grandparents, extended family. You know, this was part of growing up. You went to church every Sunday. It was, in my household, there was no such thing as I don't want to go. Everybody went. It's just you got up, you had your got your shoes shined and all that stuff, and you went to church. And I believed it, and like that, you know, as a child, you know, you trust your parents. You don't think they're teaching you something wrong. So you, you know, you go to church and like that, and that's what I did.
Otherwise, you're going to get the shoe, huh?
How about that? You know about that, huh?
Yeah. So you got to get to church. And so you're going to church. You're active. You're pretty active, huh?
Yeah. I mean, as a young guy, I was very active. Helped with the Sunday school, you know, on the usher, sing, whatever was going on in the church, I was involved in it.
Mm-hmm. And then it came a point that you talked about now that you said things stopped. Why did they stop?
Yeah. I mean, as a teenager, you know what I mean? I guess you start feeling your oats, as they say, and, you know, you get away from doing things, and we just slowly, gradually stop going so much. And then we just stopped going at all, just, you know, when we had to, or if it was holiday or something like that. I guess maybe my parents didn't push it as hard as we got, you know, older.
Mm-hmm. And then you came back sometime later. How long after that did you actually come back? Was there something, because and why did you come back? Was there something missing, a void you tried to fill? What was it?
Yeah, well, there are a number of things going on. First of all, I lost my mother at a very young age. I was like early 20s. And, you know, this was a very difficult thing, being the youngest of four, you know, a mama's boy and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to also, as a young man, you know, you want to know things. Why am I here? What am I here for? What should I be doing? What's right and wrong? Who said so? Why should I do this? You know, if this guy died for me, okay, then I don't need to worry about it. My bill's clean. I can do whatever I want. So why do I need to do this? Why should I do? You know, you want to know stuff. And, you know, going back to the church as an adult, you know, you question things. You have questions. You want to know this. You want to know that. And you weren't getting answers that made any sense. You know, you just kind of, as a child, you just accepted things. As an adult, you can think. Now you start asking questions, you know, and it didn't really make sense. A lot of things didn't add up. And that's, you know, you just kind of just left it alone, you know. That's basically what happened.
That's interesting. So you said this guy, are you, you're referring to obviously Jesus, peace be upon him.
Yes. I mean, in the church, they teach you, you know, the main thing they talk about is what they call salvation, or in Arabic, you say najat, that, you know, Jesus was born, you had to accept this, he died for the sins of the world, and you accept that, you go to heaven, that's that. So, you know, growing up, I just presumed that's what everybody else did. I didn't know there were other things. I presumed everybody was either Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or something like that. I had no clue that there was other things. Then later I'm learning these things as a young adult, you know.
Was there a picture of Jesus in the church that you go
to? Yeah, they had in the church, in the Bible. If you open the Bible up in those days, not only Jesus, Mary, the angels, everything you seen was white. You know, and, you know, you just accepted, okay, that's, you know, that's what you thought. Just as an adult, you're going back, you know, you start looking at things. The whole thing that really got me, that I didn't really accept was this, the whole three in one. I just never could really get my hands around it.
The Trinity.
You know, you believed it because they told you that, but you never really understood it.
So when back to the picture, so there was a picture of Jesus in the church. What did they have that picture in the church? Was it of what color was Jesus?
You know, in the church, everywhere you see the picture of Jesus, he's a white, he's a European guy, you know.
I heard in many African-American churches, they have him as brown, black.
Yeah, this probably came later.
Oh, yeah. So at your time, they had the white Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I went to church in mainly in the early 60s and stuff. I'm 67. So
that's interesting now, because now we see Jesus is black in the churches. Back then,
they didn't do that stuff back then. I mean, those days, first of all, everything was still segregated. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a little boy, things were segregated. You lived in a segregated neighborhood, segregated church, everything was segregated. The only time you've seen white people or something is when you went to the hospital or something like that, or if you go downtown or something like that. But for the most part, everything was segregated, schools, everything. So in the church, you know, they had the picture of Jesus is still white and all this stuff.
Blonde hair, blue eyes?
Yeah. Light hair. I mean, I guess blue eyes, I guess. I never paid attention to his eyes, but it was just the regular white Jesus that you see, you know, in the Bible.
How long later after that did they change the picture to?
I don't know if they ever did in the church that I went to.
Okay.
I mean, I think more of that stuff came later, 70s, 80s. when they come up with other things. You know, you came up with, used to have Christmas, then they come up with Kwanzaa. They had, this was cultural stuff.
Yeah. So now you get to a point, you ran into some people, obviously some Muslims, and they're telling you, look, we shouldn't see God as black or white. We should remove any racial images. And that really stuck. That had you thinking. How talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I knew about Muslims in general. I knew about the Nation of Islam, put it that way. That's what was, you heard about it. I didn't see it. I just heard from, you know, people talking or in the news or what have you. But I ran into people in the street and they would be, oh, you know, we shouldn't see God as black and white. We should, this is bad. Remove the, there was a program going on by a Muslim community in the late, in the early 80s by the late Waruf Deen Muhammad. May Allah have mercy on him. You know, he, they had a community, it was called World Community Islam or something like that back in those days. They had a program out that was called, that was designed to remove racial images from worship. So that's how I got in contact with that. I seen that and I was like, it was curious, you know, I was like, wow, man, you know, this makes sense. We shouldn't see God as being black or white and angels as white. Everything is white. It gives the white people a false sense of superiority and those that are not white a sense of inferiority. So, you know, we should, you shouldn't, that's not correct. And for me, I'm thinking, well, you know, we were misled about a lot of other things. What makes you think that you weren't misled about that too? Mm-hmm. So it made me think, you know, when you start thinking, well, Jesus, he was come from the Middle East. He's from a Jewish family. People there are people of color. They aren't, they're different colors. Some are light, some are dark, but they're like olive colored or something. They're not just, they're not particularly European. And that's what got me going. So, and I would hear people, oh, the Quran say this. Oh, the Quran say that. I'm like, what Quran? What is it? So I seen a guy one day, he had a Quran. He said, the Quran say, was that the Quran? Yeah. Well, can I see it? Well, this belongs to my wife, brother. I'll let you borrow it for a week, but you got to promise to give it back. So I said, okay, fair enough, man. I'm just curious. I just want to see what's in it. You know, I keep hearing all this talk about it. What is it? So he let me borrow it, and I started reading it, just looking from the beginning, read the commentary, introduction, the old Yusuf Ali, you know, back in those days. This is early 80s. And I couldn't put it down. It just, it's like a magnet, man. Everything that I always wanted to know, I was starting to find the answers to. Questions that I needed answered but didn't know how to ask. And it was easy. A lot of things that I thought or that I already believed is this what was in the Quran. You know, I didn't like somebody looking at my girlfriend. I didn't like somebody dancing with my girlfriend. I don't want somebody hugging her. I don't want my girlfriend going to the swimming pool and she's going in some little skimpy bikini. And I'm like, no. You're not going away with me looking like that. And, you know, stuff like that. These are the things I always believed anyway. I didn't like it. Why we are here? What are we here for? What should we be doing? Who said so? What's the standard of right and wrong? You said it. Okay, where's the proof for it? Who said so? These are the kind of questions that I was getting answered as I was reading Yusuf Ali. And by the time, I don't know how far I read, but I knew in a week's time, when I gave the guy his Quran back, I didn't need to ask him anything else. I knew this is what I was going to be doing the rest of my life. And I made it my business to get a Quran. Then later I went to the masjid and, you know, told the guy I wanted to sign up. And, you know, I had no idea how, you know, make a shahada or something like that. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. I just knew this is what I wanted to do. The only issue that I didn't know was how it meshed with Christianity because I was a Baptist, you know? I didn't know how the two meshed. So that was my only challenge.
So that was it. Once you picked up the Quran, you got it. It was borrowed to you. you started reading Purpose of Life, Why You've Been Created, Where You Going With Your Die.
Yes.
All of the morality.
Yes.
Everything.
Accountability.
Accountability.
Yeah.
All of these things just made sense. The pure, absolute monotheism of the Creator.
Yeah.
Tawheed,
exactly.
What we call it. All of this resonated with your fitra, your innate nature.
This is the key, Eddie. I wasn't impressed by, Muhammad Ali was boxing back in those days. I remember when he changed his name, he didn't go to the army, all that stuff. That didn't make me want to be a Muslim. Not any slight to him. I'm just saying that didn't get my attention. And the nation and stuff back in those days was more like a black empowerment movement or something, like the Black Panthers or something. It wasn't like, it didn't come off as deen. It didn't come off like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't come off as religion or what we call religion or along those lines. It was more like a social movement. And they stayed in a lot of issues, and I wasn't looking for problems. I was trying to figure out some things. I guess everybody, when he's a young man, he wants to know things. You get to a certain age and you're curious. You want to know what's going on. What am I supposed to be doing? Who said so? Why? What's going to happen if I do it? What's going to happen if I don't?
Common sense. Yeah.
Yeah. All these things. So these are the things that got me going.
So now, not only did you pick up the Quran, read the Quran, you found answers to all these questions that people should be asking. It made sense. The evidence is there. Now you went and actually, this is one of the miracles of the Quran, that its authenticity, the signs that are in there,
exactly,
and the prophecies, how we've been created, everything is there. Now you went, because we hear often, young boys at the age of 6, 7, 8 memorizing the entire book, and you know the statement that if we were to take all of the books out there, the religious books, burn them, lock them up, you wouldn't be able to bring them back except the Quran, because that's one of the miracles. It's been memorized by millions living today, and we can bring it back in a matter of days. You went at an age of 67 memorized the entire Quran. Is that true?
I finished at the age of 67. When I was a new Muslim, you have to learn some to make the law. So I was learning, and, I learned some in the early 80s, learned here, but I wasn't really in a serious Quran program until I went to Dar es Salaam, to the Quran Institute. And I stayed with the same teacher there from 2011 to now. I just recently graduated. And I had learned some here and there. It has to go with where you learn, okay? It wasn't something that was pushed or encouraged. We had a competition one time to learn Juz Amma, the last 30th. So I was like, oh, okay. So let's do that. And we tried it, and half the guys flaked out. A few of us finished. And that was that. There was no inducement to learn more. In fact, in the 80s, when it was Ramadan, they would bring people from overseas to lead Tarawih. Nobody here knew. Mm-hmm. You had one or two places, but for the most part, you had to, they brought people from overseas. And now we have an institute, the Quran Institute where I attend. They send boys all over the country and even to other countries to lead Tarawih.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. Awesome. And this is, the Quran, this is, as a Muslim, This is the bread and butter. You start with the Quran. You don't start someplace else. You start with Quran. And Quran is Arabic. It's not English. You can translate it to English, but, it doesn't match. It's the words don't match one for one. Too many things in Arabic, when you translate it to English, you find, oh, that doesn't mean that. It means this.
Mm-hmm.
as you're learning the Quran in Arabic, you're learning, oh, wow, I thought this was this. I thought that was that. No, it doesn't mean that. It means something else, a much deeper meaning. And Arabic is very, what would be the good word? Specific. It's very specific about details when you're reading. Whereas in English, you could get something, you don't, it's just a general word. I mean, it's okay in the beginning, but as you, you want to learn more.
Did that increase your faith, your iman, the more you this started to open up?
Oh my God, yeah. By night and day, man. There's too many things, you know, you read. And I can remember when I was learning Surah Nisa, the women, and reading in the part about where on the Day of Judgment, Isa will be a witness against the Christians who said that he's God and son and died and all that stuff. He'll be the witness against them. Reading this in Arabic, and I'm reciting it, and I'm a truck driver, so I'm driving, and while I'm reading it, man, it hit me. Boom, the tears just exploded on the highway.
You just start crying on the highway just driving the truck.
Yeah.
While listening to the Quran.
Yeah, while I'm trying to recite a little bit while I'm reading, and I'm going over stuff, and for some reason, it hit me while I was driving. I can, if you were here in D.C. area, I could take you to the exact spot where that happened. And I think I boo-hooed the rest of the day, man.
You
and when I got off work, I went straight to my father and just lost it. Sorry. But just fell apart, man. I went home and told him, hey, dude, don't let your eyes close thinking that somebody died for you. Nobody died for you. You're going to die for yourself. You're going to be responsible. And if you die like that, I can't open my mouth. I can't say anything for you, please. And I showed him in the Quran, and man, I was just hysterical almost.
So out of your love, your father, who's still a Baptist Christian, out of your love and concern, you went back to him.
Went to him and told him. I had to tell him. You have to tell him.
That's the love, yeah. You want him in paradise. You want to
absolutely
give him the proper salvation, yes.
And
him to the proper salvation.
And humbly that, at the end of the day, my father died in 2015 at the age of 94. And me and my son got him to accept Islam before he passed.
Alhamdulillah. That's amazing news. So your father, Baptist Christian, you talking to him, giving him da'wah, educating him.
Yeah.
He ends up accepting Islam, also submission to the creator, not the creation.
I mean,
and all that is, go ahead.
No, just, I mean, your parents, they do so much for you. You want to do something. What can you do for him? What's the best thing you can do for him? He doesn't need any money. I mean, we were poor growing up like that, but I'm saying, you know, money isn't going to help him. He's 94. What can you do for him? You know, you can't take his pain away. You can't, you know, what can you do? The only thing you can give him is Islam. There's no greater gift.
Greatest gift, yeah.
Yeah.
Connection with the Creator.
He has to consent. He has to consent. I can't put it in his pocket, you know. And we pleaded with him, man. I mean, I pleaded with him for years.
Mm-hmm.
For years, man. I'll tell you another incident. One time my son was in college, and I think it was Eid or something. And for some reason, I had him in the car. And we were listening to a lecture by Siraj Wahaj. And he was talking about, he had went back to the church where he had went and to talk to the preacher or whatever, but the preacher had passed. And he was going on and like, well, you know, Allah's going, if Allah, and he was reading the ayats in Ma'idah and the table spread where Allah questions Isa on the Day of Judgment. Did you tell the people this stuff? And he said, well, if he's going to tell him, what about me and you? If he's going to question them, what about us? I looked over and I'm looking at my dad out the corner of my eye while I'm driving, and I could see tears running, man. I was like, man, this dude, he's getting to him. SubhanAllah. So, you know, you all, and he's the only one out of my family that accepted Islam. I have three sisters, a lot of cousins, uncles like that, some preachers and, you know, all this stuff, whatever. But he was the only one, him and I, you know, and of course my children are Muslim, but you know, you try to give it to your family, man. It's what you know, that's your job.
Absolutely. May Allah.
And sorry if I was rambling there, Eddie. I didn't mean to.
Huh?
What'd you say? I'm sorry if I started rambling on too much.
No, man. This is amazing. This is very touching. Heartwarming, and sure, for a lot of people it'd be very emotional. I mean, parents so dear to us, may Allah, the Almighty, the Creator, reunite us with our parents, our fathers in Jannah, and that's so wonderful to hear your father accepted Islam right towards the end. It's amazing, yes. And it reminds us, you know, the hadith where a person, the Prophet saw some paraphrasing that a person, yeah. You know, right towards the end.
That's it, hands span away, and it was written overtakes him.
Yeah. That's just amazing. So tell us, before we conclude, what kept you motivated that you kept with it? It took some time, but you stayed with it so other people can take a lesson and they can get motivated to stay with it, giving a little bit at a time, whatever it takes.
Well, to tell you the truth, you and I, neither one of us are getting any younger, okay? Yeah. And we learned the Quran. The Quran is not... It wasn't for me a thing, but I was in a race to learn. I wanted to learn the Quran in Arabic, to understand it in Arabic language. You want to understand what Allah says, not what the commentator says. What did Allah say? Okay? So, and as you're reading it, the barakah for reading the Quran, every letter, every haruf, aleph, lam, mim, each one, you get reward. And double reward for those of us, it's not our language, it's difficult. And I wanted that. And the Quran, you know, the Quran is shifa'a. It'll intercede for you on the day of judgment. You think about these lawyers we got today, these hotshot lawyers, Johnny Cochran or whoever, F. Lee Bailey or whatever. You want Surah Baqarah and Surah Imran will be the best lawyers on the day of judgment. On a day after which will be no night. They will continue to argue and beg for and intercede for you for your forgiveness until you're forgiven. They won't leave you. So from that, you would want them in your corner. I mean, all of us, we're not perfect. We make sins, we fall short, we get lazy, what have you. We want everything on our favor to achieve our objective. What's the objective? Jannah. If you miss it, you know what's waiting for you, right? And so you're not trying to deal with that. So we try to do the best we can to learn the Quran. I mean, alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to my teachers. Man, my Quran teacher, there's so many guys that took Quran from that guy's hands. It's just, you know, it's just, I'm floored, you know? You just think about that. How many people learn the Quran from somebody? And I'm very humbled. I'm very grateful that, you know, to reach this milestone in my life, you know, and I'm not finished. You don't ever finish Quran. When do you finish? You don't finish. Even after you die in Akhirah, you still read Quran. So we want to, you know, we're just trying to do our best. And as a convert, as a revert, you have this thirst. You want to learn it. You need to learn it. You know, for people over 40, they think, oh, I can't do it. I'm too old. I don't have time. I don't know Arabic. Okay, well, you need to learn how to read the Quran. When Ramadan comes, it's the month of Quran. Take this time, learn something of the Quran. Learn how to read it. Then you want to read it every day. You should have a relationship with the Book of Allah anyway. How are you going to, you know, develop as a Muslim if you're not reading the Mus'haf? You need to know what's in the Quran. You need to know what's, read all of it. I mean, I even had a Christian guy ask me one day while I'm sitting in my truck, do you read all the Quran? And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, what kind of question is that? I mean, how am I going to know what's in it if I don't read it? Don't you read all of the Bible? He said, no, we don't have to. What is that? How do you know what's in it? He got mad and stormed off, you know? I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with this guy? You know, we need, yes, you need to read all the Quran. How are you going to know what's in it if you don't read it? And you need to know how to read it properly. You should, as a Muslim. It's the most important thing in your life. I can't think of what's more important. More important than your career. You know, if you die today, what's going to help you, the Quran or the job? So, you know, you want to encourage people, man, to read, study the Quran. Does wonders for your iman. Too many things you don't see in English that they translate one thing, it means something else. And I'll give you a quick example. Like you'll see poor translated as miskin, fakir, and mustadafin. Neither those three things are not the same thing. Miskin is somebody who doesn't have enough money for his monthly stuff. Fakir, he doesn't have nothing, not even for today. The mustadafin, he's the guy, somebody's foot on his neck, like in Gaza. This is, you know, so they're not the same thing. You can't translate all those as poor. It doesn't mean that.
They're just layers and layers and layers that...
Oh, man, it just goes so deep.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Wow. And that's what I say. When you read in the Quran in Arabic every day, wow, I didn't know that. I thought this was this. You read, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I thought that was this. Was this this? No, it doesn't mean that.
Takes you to a whole other dimension. Over here, you're still like kind of in audio, not even maybe black and white. But then over here, you get 4K and beyond.
Yeah, and it never ends. You know, you read the Quran and you go back and pick it up, you see something you didn't see. Mm-hmm. You know, you go all the time when you go back, you see something, you know, and it'll the more you understand it, the more I'm just at the level where I can taste it. You know, I used to wonder when I was a new Muslim why people cry when you read Quran. Now I know why. You know, you feel it. You can taste it. It's like eating some very fine sweets, halwa, whatever you can taste it. It has an effect on you. Allah mentions in the Quran, he said, if he put it on a mountain, it'd crush it. If Allah sent the Quran down on a mountain, so what about you? You get a taste, you're going to humble you too.
Yes.
So, you know, from that, you know, we try to encourage people to learn it, to study it. And because you're over a certain age, don't think you can't learn. And you shouldn't have the objective in mind, oh, I need to finish, I can't. Don't worry about finishing. Worry about improving your relationship with the Book of Allah. That's what you should worry about. This is ibadah. This is personal. This is for your benefit. It doesn't benefit anybody else. It benefits you. You know, this is what you want. I mean, I can't think of anything else more important.
Great advice. Thank you so much. Let's end with this. For the non-Muslims and not yet Muslims, never had really any kind of exposure to the Quran. In this, I'd ask you to go ahead and recite Al-Fatiha, the opening, which is actually translated in English. They can go ahead. We'll put the translation. This is how you can get guided by making this supplication, this dua that's actually in there. So can you recite the opening chapter of the Quran for us so people can hear it?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You wanna, or should I? You wanna translate it?
Yes, I can translate it. I've said first, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We seek refuge in Allah. From Shaitan before we start reciting the Quran.
From the devil. So this is a real powerful now.
Yeah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. All praises are due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, the master of day of judgment. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek assistance. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those on whom you have blessed. not on those whom your wrath has been brought down, nor of those who have gone astray. Amen. We ask Allah to accept.
Jazakallah, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're most welcome. May Allah,
Creator of the heavens and earth, reward you. Thank you.
Amen, man. I'm very humbled to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I hope I didn't talk too much.
No.
You know what I mean? You're doing a good job with the dawah and like that, man. May Allah reward you and your team, your family, and put this on your scale on the day of judgment. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
As-salamu
alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. And amazing story. What an amazing story. I hope you benefit like I have. If you'd like a free copy of the Quran, go to thedeenshow.com. We'll get you a free copy so you can see what took him to this level where he's at, figuring out the purpose of life. Why are you here? Where are you going when you die? All the answers that he was looking towards, inquisitive, wanted to know, they're all there in the Quran. And we'll get it to you for free. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.